For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hola, como esta? Welcome to another day here on WFAN. Evan and Tiki back in the shop here in New York City. We got a lot to get to, including the Yankees potentially having to make a decision that no one ever thought they'd have to make. And oh, by the way, the Yankees, 24 hours removed from their most embarrassing loss ever, are now in first place by themselves for the first time since June 26th. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But we're about to find out about the New York Mets. Now, there are a lot of Met fans panicking over last night, and it sucked, and it was bad. And you give up 7 runs in the first 3 innings. Paul Blackburn didn't have it. It was a bad, ugly loss. But I'm willing to say, you know what? First game back from a West Coast trip. The A's have been playing good baseball, blah, blah, blah. It ain't the end of the world. But last night serves as something that is going to tell us a lot about the guts and the stones of the New York Mets. Because not only do they need to win from a standings perspective, last night, and I want to sum this up real quick for those that missed it, in the 5th inning with the Mets down 7-4 and 2-1 and nobody out, so they are in the game. They are back in the game. Austin Adams, who the Mets released in spring training, they recycled him, they threw him in the trash, came in and got 3 big outs, including 2 strikeouts, one of which was to Francisco Alvarez. It was a very big moment in the game. And Austin Adams stood up, I'll give you a visual, Tiki, and started prancing his hands in the air, mocking what the Mets do with OMG.
Oh, my God.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
He did an OMG thing. He then tells Francisco Alvarez, get the bleep out of here, all right? I'm watching this live, and my reaction is, you know what? Good for him. He got 3 big outs. He can do whatever he wants. And I didn't think much of it for the rest of the game. The Mets ended up losing 9-4, whatever. But here's what made that moment a lightning rod and what made that moment to me something where we're going to learn so much about the Mets. After the game, Edwin Diaz, who did pitch last night in some mop-up duty, said, quote, he crossed a line. Edwin Diaz, veteran on this team.
Did he?
I don't know if he did, Tiki, but here's what matters to me. The Mets think he did.
Well, Edwin Diaz thinks he did.
Don't you think he speaks for the team?
He probably does speak for the team. I think, and he tried to explain or walk back some of his mocking last night. Austin Adams did.
Yeah, because he's
basically saying, you know, it was 2 outs, it was a tough situation, or 2 on with no outs, tough situation. I got out of it, so oh my God.
Yeah.
Right? Using that as an excuse.
He did tell Francisco Alvarez, get the bleep out of here, so I don't know what that has to do with being surprised.
He said some other explicatives when he was back in the dugout, screaming specifically, it looked like, at the Mets dugout. Probably those that decided to get rid of him earlier in the year. But with that being said, isn't that what sport is?
It is.
Sport is mocking.
So here's my opinion on this whole thing. I never had an issue with Austin Adams. I love when baseball players or athletes show that they're excited. But the Mets are clearly pissed. When Edwin Diaz comes out after a game and says that, that's the Mets telling you we're not happy about it. So here's my comment to the New York Mets and to Edwin Diaz. What are you going to do about it? Because you've got 2 things coming together at the same time. You've got the Mets in desperate need of a victory. They've lost 4 in a row. This is the longest losing streak they've had in a while. They're not only desperate for wins, but now you have a key player coming out and saying, yeah, that pissed us off. And one of the big knocks on this Met team that a lot of us have had is, when are they going to show stones? A guy gets hit and Buck Showalter stares at them. A guy gets hit, they don't do anything about it. Now, this isn't a guy getting hit, but this is the Mets telling you, we're angry. So to me tonight, and really for the rest of this series, we're going to find out if this team has stones.
Yeah.
Go out and smack them and dance all over their grave.
But the challenging thing for baseball players is that being upset about something, being motivated, being angry, or playing angry is easier said than done because it's such a finesse sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the NFL, where if you're angry, say Giants are mad at the Philadelphia Eagles, you can take some cheap shots. You can get some bad penalties and send a physical message. How do you do that in baseball? Because if it's like golf, I think. The more upset, pissed off, whatever word you want to use you are, the harder it is to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to get revenge is to be great.
Yeah. Well, the way to get revenge is to put 10 runs up on them.
But how do you ensure a great result when it's a game of failure and the likelihood of you having success if you go in with a heightened emotional state is decreased? So it works against itself, I think, in some ways. And so I think Edwin Diaz, while trying to be the mouthpiece, the big boy for the Mets, and to tell the world, whoever would listen, in this case the A's, how upset you were that Adams crossed the line, you can't really do anything about it.
You can do something about it. You can destroy them. You can score 9 runs tonight.
Can you guarantee they're going to score 9 runs?
No, I can't guarantee
It's like the Yankees, best team in baseball. On Monday, they lose to the White Sox.
Right.
So how do you respond to it? We're going to go out there and kick their ass. We actually even predicted that. I think the Yankees are going to win by 15. We actually toned it back because we didn't think Nestor Cortez would have a great outing. Guess what? Nestor had a great outing.
Got that one wrong.
But they didn't score many runs. It was Juan Soto's show, and that's it.
I know that.
You can't guarantee it. If you're upset about it.
I'm not guaranteeing anything. What I'm telling you is one of the big questions that the Mets have had all year, from us as fans, besides the talent on the team, besides the fact, like, hey, do they have enough pitching, was, does this team have guts? 2 years ago, the Mets got punched in the mouth in a 3-game series by the Atlanta Braves, and they had every opportunity to respond because they weren't eliminated. They had a best-of-3 series against the San Diego Padres, and they failed. And then last year in 2023, they got punched in the mouth early, and they were never able to recover. And one of the big critiques and worries about this team, in fact, it's a worry I laid out to you a few months ago when J.D. Martinez revealed that one of the things that got this team going was, hey, the pressure's off, no one thinks we're any good, it's us against the world. And my response to that was, that's great, and I'm glad that that's gotten you going, but what happens when the pressure's on? Like, what happens when you turn the season around, which the Mets have done, and now the pressure's on? You can't play that card anymore, which the Mets can't play anymore because the expectations changed. Most sane Met fans now said, hey, they better make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, this is going to be a disappointment. Well, now the Mets face pressure. So not only are they facing the pressure of needing to win games, which is obvious on a 4-game losing streak, they've told you essentially, yeah, we're pissed off about something the A's did last night. Whether they should be pissed off or not, to me, is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they are. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be the team that we hope?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You are. That we hope deep down you have the guts to do, which is respond.
Yeah,
you're facing Joey Estes tonight. Score 7 runs against him. And you know what you can do when you score 7 runs against him? You can dance on their grave the way Austin Adams did last night. So maybe I'm being hyperbolic on a Wednesday night. But honestly, I look at this game tonight against Oakland because of the combination of the losing streak and the combination of the fact the Mets are angry, and I say this is their most important game they've played all year, and we're going to learn a lot about the guts of this Met team tonight.
Somebody needs to be the hero for this team. Looks like Juan Soto was after getting trounced the other night that he was last night. So I also feel like, against the White Sox, obviously, I think you're better off sometimes not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Be upset. Be mad. But don't say it. Because now, if you come out and you're flat again against the A's, you lose again, now you really look weak.
Right. I agree.
And so, by showing how emotionally upset he and the rest of the team is, I'm assuming, Edwin Diaz has put so much pressure on the Mets to perform tonight. Like, they have to go out and do exactly what you're saying. And if they don't, they come off looking worse than they did yesterday or today in response. So sometimes you're better off just getting revenge instead of talking about it.
So Edwin Diaz made a mistake by even admitting, hey.
In baseball, yes. In baseball, 100% yes. In basketball, you know what? You piss me off, I'm gonna dunk in your grill.
Right. Or commit a hard foul.
Or commit a hard foul. Or undercut you. Or try to hurt you. Or whatever it is. Same thing in baseball. You got to stand there and wait to react to something.
Yeah,
it's just really hard.
The only thing you can do.
Unless Edwin Diaz is going to get on the mound again tonight and throw at somebody.
Well, he could have last night. I mean, if he was really that pissed off. Like, he pitched in the ninth inning. And specifically, and I look back at this as a Monday morning quarterback, because obviously when Diaz is on the mound in the ninth inning and 90% of you aren't even watching because the Mets are losing 9-4, I didn't know Edwin Diaz was pissed off. Honestly, I didn't. I saw what Austin Adams did. I admit, as a Met fan, I was more pissed off at the Mets. I was pissed off at the fact that Francisco Alvarez is a lost puppy dog right now and left a country on base last night. That's why I was angry. But now, knowing that Edwin was annoyed, I looked at his at-bat against Shea Langeliers, who had 3 hits, and said, hey, if you're that angry, you could have drilled him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the aspects you have as a baseball player, you mentioned, like, what can you really do compared to football and basketball? There are 2 things you can do besides beating your opponent.
Hard tags?
Not hard tags, but taking a guy out at second base was what I was going to say.
Yeah, but you got to get on first base.
I agree. Situation's got to be there. Or you can lay down a bunt down the first baseline and run over the first baseman.
That's true.
That's option number 1.
Yeah, you got to be able to bunt, though.
I understand. Which 98% of baseball can't do.
Exactly.
And option number 2.
Especially where we want it to.
That's true. You got to lay it down that first baseline. The only guy that could do that is really Jeff McNeil, and trust me, Jeff McNeil don't want to fight anybody.
No.
As we learned earlier this season. And the other option is to drill somebody. And the truth is, I know that would placate a lot of Met fans. Like, yeah, they showed fight. The truth is, what I want is an ass-kicking. I want the Mets to beat up the Oakland A's, because Joe Boyle last night came in with a 7 ERA, and the Mets couldn't hit him until the 5th inning. They're facing Joey Estes tonight. I want to see them bomb the A's. I want to see them respond by performing at a high level, not only because they're pissed off at Austin Adams, but because they need the victory badly. But those are the ways you can respond when you are angry, and that's drilling somebody and taking someone out hard at second base.
Yeah, the challenge is you actually got to be consistently good. I'm not going to say good, because this team is pretty good in moments, but you got to be consistently good to take advantage of those opportunities in those situations like the Mets have tonight against the Oakland A's, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, especially if they're emotionally heightened, especially if Edwin Diaz is gassing him up, right? Is he Lindor? Is he trying to be the leader? Is he trying to call a team meeting? Is he trying to ignite the magic that happened at the beginning of the summer? Maybe. I just don't trust that it's going to work.
Well, I don't trust it's going to work because this team, that's the level of trust we don't have with them.
Of course not.
As well as they've played over the last few months, the track record of this team has been to come up small when the pressure's on the line. And it does go back to 2022. And that's why, and maybe it's because as a diehard Met fan, four straight losses is starting to make me really worried. The Atlanta Braves have woken up, and now it's a two-game deficit. And maybe it's taking the importance of this game, which is already obvious that they need to win games. If they're not careful, they'll fall out of it. Like, that's the one thing, and I made that warning the other day about the Mets.
Yep.
The Yankees, to me, and the Orioles are going to be there very close together come late September. I don't know if that's the case with the Mets. And that's where a losing streak could kind of dip you in a spot in which you fall out of it.
Yeah, especially with the, I mean, how many of the Padres won in a row? Five or
it's ridiculous.
Seven or
the
something
Padres
like
and
that.
Diamondbacks never lose.
They can't lose. I know. They've won, I mean, 80% of their games this month.
And honestly, they've buried themselves from San Diego and Arizona. They're already five games back.
Yeah.
They're two games behind Atlanta.
It's crazy now. They have to seek Atlanta.
So it's a combination of they're desperate for a win, and they just showed you they're pissed off. And I want to see the Mets do something about
it. Do you believe that they're going to respond the way that you're saying they need to? And that's the challenge. I think Met fans aren't sitting there saying, no, I think Met fans are sitting there saying, Evan is absolutely right. 80% of them don't believe that it's going to actually happen.
Oh, I would definitely agree that right now, and I put a poll out right before we signed on the air. It was a very simple poll. It was a very basic poll. And that was, do you think the Mets are going to make the playoffs? You know, right now. They're two games behind Atlanta. They're still right there. They've shown a lot of fight this season. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs? And the overwhelming answer is no. And I think that's the same answer to, hey, I'm building up this game tonight specifically for the combination of reasons I gave as the most important game they've played all season long, and I truly believe that. The question is, okay, now, do you think they're going to win? And I think most Met fans would probably say, nah, not really. And a part of that is the lack of trust. And a part of that is the fact that when the Mets were angry over the last 2 years about getting hit by pitches constantly, they never did anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I give Keith McPherson a lot of credit. And I saw him tweet this, and I thought this, even though he's not a Met fan, I thought this actually kind of captured a lot of what we think as Met fans. When Edwin Diaz said he was angry, all Keith tweeted out was a GIF of Buck Showalter staring angrily at the opposing team.
Yeah.
And the truth was, every time the Mets were mad, they didn't do anything but stare.
Right. That kind of angry is not going to get it done.
No.
And so yesterday we talked about what we thought the Mets would need to make the postseason. And before it was sub 90 wins. Now we're saying it's 90. And I said they needed to go 29-15.
Mm.
They have 14 more losses.
Yeah.
14 more losses available to them. Are they making it? That's what a Met fan is trying to decide right now and think about, conceptualize. And it sounds daunting.
It sounds very daunting. But because before they can make the playoffs, before they can go on that kind of run that features a lot of potholes, including a tough West Coast trip in a week and a half, the Mets need to win tonight. This game tonight has now become the most important game of the year. And they're angry. Edwin Diaz already told you. So my question to my fellow Met fans are, do you actually believe? Do you think this team responds tonight? Or are we about to witness the death of a season? Sometimes the death of a season is in the middle of June against the Yankees. Sometimes the death of a season is in a weekend in Atlanta in late September. And sometimes the death of a season actually comes in the middle of August against a shameful franchise whose owner should sell them immediately to the Oakland Athletics. We'll get to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Is this team going to respond and show and take their anger and bring it to a good place? Plus, Tiki asked a question. Edwin Diaz thought Austin Adams crossed the line last night. What is crossing the line in sports? We'll try to examine that coming up, plus a lot of Yankee talk, the expectations around Malik Nabers, and of course, you at 888-808-1019. By the way, thank God last night at Citi Field was $5 Tuesday. Because when you're down 3-0 before you can get your ass comfortable in the seat, and you're down 7-1 in the third inning, at least you got $5 hot dogs and beers all night long, or whatever the heck they give you for $5. But it was a bad night at Citi Field. And there's a couple of guys that are concerning me, besides the fact that the Mets are angry that Austin Adams was celebrating, and the fact that Paul Blackburn had a terrible start in his third start as a Met. Francisco Alvarez literally left an entire country on base last night. Seven guys were left on base by Alvarez. His average is dipping and dipping and dipping. I think it's below 260. He hasn't hit a home run in what feels like an eternity. He hasn't driven in a run in what feels like an eternity. And Francisco Alvarez, with so much promise this season, is really, really stuck in a rut. Pete Alonso did have that big two-run single, which slowly got them back in the game. But for the most part, he continues to be a mess, as we saw when he came up in a big spot in the third inning and he struck out. Brandon Nimmo is an abomination. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He's hitting 135 in the last month. And look, that wasn't the only reason they lost. They also gave up a ton of runs. I mean, Jose Budo wasn't good. Paul Blackburn wasn't good. But it was a concerning night at Citi Field. And what's also very concerning, Teague, is the way they're built. They don't have a stopper. They don't have that ace that you throw on the mound after a four-game losing streak to stop the bleeding. They don't have that.
Well, I mean, Manaea might be the closest thing as of late. But again, is there trust? I think this comes down to the belief. I think this is internal and out external. I think this is from a fan base. I think it's from a media perspective and maybe even internally. I don't know if they trust any of these guys to go give an unbelievable effort, especially when you need it. I think, you know, it's interesting because we had this conversation about Nestor yesterday. We didn't believe in Nestor. I give Nestor credit. Like, he stepped up in a moment and had an unbelievable outing.
Sure.
Seven innings, nine strikeouts. It was exactly what the Yankees needed. But the Yankees are, they feel better prepared for these type of moments.
Well, because they have a true ace. They have a stopper like Gerrit Cole. The Mets have a bunch of middle to back of the rotation arms, and they've been able to be effective with that, but that's the problem when you're in a losing streak. You don't have that guy you could throw out there who you know is going to give you six or seven really good innings and potentially stop a losing streak.
It's also, it goes back to what we've been saying, or at least I've been saying, for the entirety of this season. It's not that you are evaluating and quitting, or punting. That's the word that everybody's using. You're not evaluating and punting. You're evaluating and hoping. Mm. But evaluating and hoping is relying on something that you don't believe necessarily in actually being better than they probably are. And that's where the Mets are. Like, you're just hoping. God, I just hope Seve has a good outing today. Oh, I hope that Quintana has a good outing. I hope David Peterson tonight has a good outing to correct what happened yesterday. I hope that Manaea has a good, like, it's hope. Not, oh yeah, I know Gerrit Cole's coming out there and crushing it. Right? They don't have that.
No.
And I think it's like seeping in. You know what I mean? It's seeping into the actual belief. And so while I'll criticize Edwin Diaz for saying, yeah, we're pissed off, we're mad, he crossed the line, let's go get him, guys, I also at least give him credit for trying.
Well, I'll tell you this. Mets have had The Mets have had 100 different things that have sparked their season. Mm. Like 100 different things. We had Grimace.
I think I saw the death of Grimace on social media last
night. Yeah, that was very funny. Ha ha, Grimace is dead.
I mean, I don't want to see him anymore. Stop wearing purple, people.
We should throw out the first pitch tonight is what should happen.
That's what re-sparked the team. We had Grimace spark in the team. We had OMG spark in the team. We had a team meeting spark in the team. We had Jorge Lopez throwing a glove spark in the team. Maybe the latest spark the team needed
is actually be good.
Was Edwin Diaz being pissed off at Austin Adams for dancing?
Maybe.
And honestly,
because the reality is, what actually sparked it before was Francisco Lindor calling him team meeting.
Yeah. Well, sure. Whatever it did, it did. Right. I don't know what the hell sparked the team.
A gimmick. Don't make it some, I don't know, non-relevant to what's actually happening on the field situation or song or person or entity. Make it about the guys.
No, it is about
making it about being accountable to one another.
Francisco Alvarez needs to start hitting. That's one of the guys. But if you didn't hear, Edwin Diaz said that crossed the line last night when Austin Adams was mocking OMG. And I say, great, show you're angry and kick the A's ass tonight. Let's go to Ray in Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, guys? Great show as usual. Great monologue, Evan.
Appreciate it.
Bottom line is you're spot on. They need this game tonight. And they need to come out and put up a crooked number. And you know what? I kind of like that under-the-radar signing they got last night, Eddie Rosario.
Yeah.
He comes up big time in the big games. Even when we played them last, he hit two home runs and hurt us on that Saturday.
Yeah,
you know?
But one thing I've learned about Met killers like Jesse Winker, just because you acquire the Met killer doesn't mean they're going to come here and be productive. And Eddie Rosario has basically sucked for 2.5 years. So I can't get too excited about, you know, signing a fourth outfielder or a minor league deal. If that's where we are in this season, that Eddie Rosario's been signed and that's going to save us, we got trouble. But what I do find interesting, and it's a different sport, but I am curious, is if Edwin Diaz believed that Austin Adams putting his hands in the air and mocking OMG was crossing the line, and I think most of us, if we're being fair, would say, eh, it's not a big deal, you're just having fun. What is crossing the line? Like, if someone tackled you when you were playing, is there something they would do where you'd say, ah, that's crossing the line?
Yeah, like trying to hurt you.
Like, well, that's obvious.
Of course.
I need a celebration.
But honestly, that's about it.
So anybody could celebrate whatever they want over you, and you would never say, wow,
if they beat you to an extent that they caused them to celebrate, kind of like Adams last night, Austin Adams last night, if he did something so spectacular in his own little contained moment that makes him feel that way, that's on you for letting that happen.
Right, right.
So I'm trying to think of an example here. Like if Brian Dawkins just caught me unawares and just de-cleated me, my feet are up over my head, and he's just like flexing over top of me and pounding his chest and doing his karate or jiu-jitsu or whatever the heck it is he used to do, then that's good for him and bad on me. I didn't see it coming. That's my fault, man. I'd actually get up and take a good hit.
Look at you. That's a class guy right there.
But it's not, you can't cross the line when you earned it.
Well, see that, as a fan, see, I'll give you the fan perspective on this. And baseball is so different because it seems like everybody is so kind of they got the stick up there, you know what?
Yes.
When it comes to baseball, my attitude has always been, and this does go to the NFL as well, if my team is winning or if their team is winning, I think you can do whatever you want. I don't really think there is a crossing the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you made a big play, if you hit a grand slam home run to give your team the lead, I think you got every right to go as crazy as you want. The only thing that bothers me, and it really bothers me when it's my team doing it, is if you make a big play or do something significant, but your team is losing, and then you celebrate.
Yeah.
That's the thing that always annoys me, because then it's kind of a selfish, like, really, what are we celebrating about kind of thing?
It's proverbially, look at the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Just look at the scoreboard, man. Stop.
Like, do you remember Santonio Holmes used to have that first down celebration where he would stick the football out and then drop it?
Yeah.
Okay. When he would do that.
By the way, everybody does that now on every first down.
It is so true.
It is so annoying.
Did Santonio create that, basically?
Kind of.
It felt like he did.
Kind of. So, I don't remember seeing it pretty regularly until after he started doing
it. It's funny. I think of him more than I think of anybody else.
Yeah.
But when Santonio used to do that, and the Jets were down by 2 scores, I get pissed off. And I'd say, what are you doing? And I think that goes with like any sack dance as well. Like, yeah, you got a sack. Great. You're down 35-7. And so I would feel the same way about a relief pitcher celebrating like Austin Adams last night. He came in a big spot, and he got 3 outs in a row, including a couple of strikeouts with the tying run at the plate in the 5th inning against a team that caught him. So to me, I'm just speaking as a fan, like, he should do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think he crossed the line. I like the fact the Mets are angry about it because maybe it leads to something productive. But I don't ever look at that as crossing the line. Crossing the line to me would be when you're selfish about it and you do it in a game in which your team is losing by a bunch of runs or a bunch of points, and then it looks like a selfish kind of act.
Right, but when you save a situation like the A's had, and it wasn't a save-type situation at the end of a game, but it was in a moment where the Mets could have storm back.
Right.
Right? So he mitigated and negated the Mets' comeback attempt. That's something to celebrate. So you can't fault him for it at all. And I don't think he crossed the line by mimicking the OMG song. It's not like they own that celebration. I know they do it, but it's not theirs.
Isn't that the irony of it, though? Right? Like, to be mad at another team for taunting your taunt?
Right.
That's what's so perplexing about it. That's why
that's a good point.
And that's why Edwin Diaz, to me, I give him credit if he's trying to be the leader on the team saying this. That's the wrong guy to say it. It should be one of the guys hitting in that lineup who faced a pitcher like that going, this is nonsense. Not a guy hanging out in the bullpen. The Mets have danced on everybody's grave, and deservedly so, for 6 weeks. The dances, whatever, with the slap and the butt cheeks, whatever's been going on. You can't then get mad at another team when they best you like that and do something like that back.
Unless, and maybe I'm giving Edwin Diaz too much credit, you tell me, he's not actually pissed off about it. This is just something to say to try to spark the team. A team that got sparked by a team meeting. Oh. A team that got sparked by a Grimace character.
Well, that's
like,
why.
Maybe that's what it is.
That's why I say I at least give him credit for trying, because he's trying. I don't know if he's intentionally trying or if he's actually emotionally moved to say that crossed the line.
Right.
But it feels like he's trying to spark his team.
And that's why I'm good with it. Like, obviously, I'm not offended by Austin Adams. I'm big on baseball celebrations. As old school as I am, you know, I love when a guy shows emotion when they hit a big home run or they get a big strikeout. When Jabba Chamberlain, because that used to be a controversy around here, mm-hmm. would get a big strikeout and he would pump his fist and go nuts, I'd always defend him and say, what do you want? He's excited.
Yeah.
That's great. Again, the only time it's obnoxious is if your team is getting demolished, because then it comes across like you're out of touch and you're selfish. But if Edwin Diaz is doing it, not because he's bothered, but because maybe in the middle of August, after a brutal West Coast trip, this is the thing that sparks a team, then give him the team MVP trophy. Because as a diehard Met fan, who I'm telling you, I look at tonight's game as the biggest game of the year. I don't even think it's close. And I think there are certain games over the course of 162 that are bigger than others. And I think when you take the mix of standings, their struggles, the calendar, Edwin Diaz says the team is pissed, that's when I tell you and say, yeah, it's the biggest game they played all year.
Yeah, it is pretty big, because they have to stop the slide. Otherwise, they're going to slide right out of this wild card opportunity that would, I mean, 2 weeks ago, they were sitting in the catbird seat. Now they're just kind of... Now they're waffling.
Well, they're two
and
games
everybody
out.
Everybody else is, but they're sliding.
Yes, because the Braves have, no kidding, they woke up. Like, anybody who thought the Braves were just going to continue to crumble and never win another game, what have you been watching? Like, you know the Braves are going to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So they win back-to-back really close games against the Giants? Oh, I'm shocked. No bleep, Sherlock. By the way, am I a hypocrite when I say this is the biggest game of the year? I got my Met t-shirt, dress shirt on. Mm-hmm. I was going to the game tonight, but I had to back out. Does that make me a hypocrite?
No, only because I know why you're backing out.
Yeah, I don't feel well.
Right.
That's why I'm backing out.
I'd rather you be healthy for the rest of the week.
See?
Then go to a Mets game.
Thank you. I hope my bosses are listening. I put the show above the Mets, because as much as I want to be in the building, my dad was coming in for the game. That's how big it was. I had to say, you know what? I have a cold coming, and I need to get some rest. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch the game comfortably, and hopefully I'll feel better, because we got a big week of shows. We got another show tomorrow. There's a big Lugash debate series debate between Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash.
Listen to your voice.
And then on Friday, we're going to the Fanatics Fest. I got to be healthy. You know, no Mets tonight.
What a hero, man. You know,
thank
save
you.
Everybody
thank
in Section 311, but get the rest of us sick. Can't wait for my Lake George call
oh,
next
you're
week.
All, you're on that side of the glass.
I sat right in front of him in a meeting.
That's a good point.
First of all, I'm not really sick. I'm just, you know.
No.
You think I'm sick?
Evan. I know you. Tiki knows you. For you to not go to a Met game, a game you're calling the biggest game of the year, you're downplaying to us because you still want to do the job of actual work. You're sick.
Well, the problem...
You're sick.
You feel worse than you actually are letting yourself feel.
You went with one of the worst flus I've ever seen to sit in the Cadillac Club last year. You're sick.
The problem with me being sick, and I had this discussion with my wife about 2 weeks ago, and I want to warn you guys, I don't get sick often. But when I get sick, it's like deadly. It is, and maybe it's because I'm, you know.
Because you were down in North Carolina in the white rain for a week and a half?
That may have contributed to it. Who the hell knows?
Of course it did.
But when I get sick, maybe it's because I'm a bad patient and I'm very soft, but it's like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be out for a week. There's a chance tomorrow you get the phone call. I'm on my deathbed. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, we'll be all right.
I'll sign for that.
And I know. You guys, take a break from him before football season. Let's go to, how about Joe in Cranford? What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys?
Yo,
hey, I got a little bit of a bone to pick here. If you saw, I don't know if you guys know this, and you're choosing not to divulge it. But
go ahead.
You saw the John Boy breakdown.
Of what Austin Adams actually said?
Breakdown?
Yeah, of what he said, like the mouthing of the words.
We referred to that in the open, so we will never hide what Austin Adams said. He basically said, you know, sit down, you piece of bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah, he was very vulgar.
Yeah, well, in the past 10, 15 minutes, you haven't been mentioning that part, and you're just saying that they're saying that he crossed the line because he's mocking OMG.
So you think that's what crossed the line? Because according to Edwin Diaz's exact quote was, he crossed the line because that's something we do when we hit a homer. So Edwin Diaz wasn't offended by the cursing. And we're not hiding from that. We mentioned it in the open, and we'll mention it again.
Yeah.
Does that cross the line because he said, sit down, you piece of bleep?
No.
I don't think so.
That's trash talk.
Yeah.
That's part of every sport. You can cuss. Trust me, these guys cuss. I've been in locker rooms for most of my life. cussing occurs. You should hear it on the sideline during games, and they have to bleep it out. You know, when you're watching a game and all of a sudden it's like dead air for a second, that's because somebody is cussing. It happens. You don't worry about that. You can't. You don't even get offended by it.
Well,
it's not like it's personal.
And also,
it's just a reaction.
And remember, there's two different things here. There's, hey, do we think they crossed the line? And how do the Mets feel? Now, we've given our opinion. Ah, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Edwin Diaz said he crossed the line. And then goes on to say, because that's something we do when we hit a home run. Edwin Diaz didn't say he crossed the line because he mother bleeped Francisco Alvarez. He didn't say that.
No.
So, Edwin Diaz, now you may be offended by it if you're a Met fan. You'd be offended by whatever the hell you want. I'm reading what Edwin said.
I don't think you should be for either, but maybe Francisco Alvarez should be upset about that.
Sure.
And look to whenever the next opportunity arises to get revenge or have a heightened sense of urgency to make something big happen against Austin Adams. But why else would anybody else be upset about that?
Francisco Alvarez is a feisty guy. I'm not sure if you guys caught this. And I'm not sure if you caught this. West Coast trip. It was a very subtle thing.
Uh-huh.
So Victor Robles of the Mariners stole on a throwback to the pitcher. All right?
Yes.
And I forget which game this was. I'd have to look into my scorecard. But Alvarez made a throwback to the pitcher, and Robles took off. Okay. Very smart play by Victor Robles. Frustrating that Alvarez kind of lally-dagged it back to the mound, but okay. Robles comes up, and you could tell Alvarez had something to say, and was vocal. Almost like, oh, you son of a bitch. Okay, you want to do that? And Alvarez was very vocal in the at-bat where they struck Robles out, and Alvarez had some extra zip into it.
Of course.
And I bring this up only because whether that was fun or games and not, I have no idea. But Alvarez showed you a little spunk. Mm-hmm. His nickname is the Troll. That's literally his nickname. So if Alvarez
And that's not because he's small and like and lives under a bridge. It's because
I think it is because he's small. I think it actually is. I don't know if he lives under a bridge, but
I was going to say, I think maybe it's just like he trolls guys.
No, I think it's literally because he looks like a troll. You'd have to ask him. I don't know. I love Francisco despite his struggling. But Alvarez has shown you he's a feisty guy. So if he was pissed off at Adams mother bleeping him, I think that would have been addressed immediately.
Of course.
He could have gone after him right then and there.
No, you're right. So I don't think he was. I think he was probably more pissed off at himself for striking out in that moment.
And I was pissed off, too, because Alvarez has been a mess lately. Mm-hmm. I love the kid, but he's not hitting, and they need him. Lorenzo in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, Evan, Tiki. I love you, as always.
Appreciate it.
I hope to ask him give my Evan favor one day soon when I ask. But, Evan, last time I thought I got you by telling you I had 4 points because you always hang up on me. And sure enough, after point two, you hung up on me. I can't get around it.
Yeah, it was Tiki's fault. He gave me a look. He said, enough of Lorenzo. I'm just kidding.
No,
go ahead.
No, how dare you? How dare you? He would never do that. He would never.
How many points do you have today? How many points do you have today so we can get this right?
If I save one, you'll hang up on me now.
just one. All right, we'll see you. See you next time, Lorenzo.
You don't.
I'm just kidding.
I don't mind the nonsense too much. I've just gotten used to it over time. But
in all sports, you're right.
Yeah.
In all sports, you're right about that, Lorenzo.
Just gotten numb to it.
It's just it's everywhere, and it's almost does that really even do anything?
I mean, Joe Horn pulled out a cell phone.
Lorenzo, I remember that was against us.
Yeah, I know.
It was kind of gave respect afterwards. It's like, bro, that was some innovative pre-thought.
that was an undercover like the Tiki. How well does Tiki know Tiki? And you did remember.
Yes.
But when a team is, if my team is down in the eighth inning, 4-2, and there's a guy on first and third for the other team, and we get out of it in a double play. Pump it all up you want. Those are scenarios I don't mind, of course. But, yeah, I mean, when you're down 7-1 and, you know, Robles, who basically, I don't know what he has done in the past month to get to this point, is stealing a bag. I guess at that point, you know, that's the old hit the guy in the back type of thing when he gets up.
Well, it's insult to injury type of thing.
Yeah. I think that the Austin Adams thing is so weird in that Austin, because there's so many layers to it. So Austin Adams does OMG, OMG, which, according to Edwin Diaz, that's what annoyed him. He curses out Francisco Alvarez, and then he's continuing to yell in the dugout. And so you mentioned it. Mentioned this at the top of the show, and you could rewind if you missed it at 2 o'clock. That Austin Adams came out after the game and said, "Hey, I was surprised I got out of it." So my reaction was, "Oh my gosh!" And then it dawned on me, "Oh my gosh! Oh my god!" Mm-hmm. And I was just having fun with it. The truth is, Austin Adams backtracked because that's not really what happened.
No.
He was so vulgar and over the top with his reaction, which he has every right to do, as long as you own it.
Right.
That's not really what happened. He cleaned it up, because if that's really what happened, why are you cursing out Alvarez? And then in the dugout, why are you continuing to curse? So, to me, what's also weird, and again, this is not what the Mets said crossed the line, is why are you backtracking from being the tough guy that you were in the sixth inning after you got these outs?
Yeah, because he's not in harm's way at all.
No, you didn't have to soften it. You should have been like, you know what he could have said? He could have said, "You're damn right. I'm pissed off they cut me. Nothing personal against those guys. But yeah, I was pumped up, and I took out my anger against the Mets at who's on the field."
Mm.
And by the way, if he says that, I think we'd all shrug our shoulders and say, okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah,
instead, he took the timid way out by saying, "Oh, gee golly, I was just, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got out of it."
Yeah, and what does he think's going to happen for him being vulgar or mocking of OMG? Like, what's going to happen to him?
Well,
nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. You're
seriously
right.
Nothing is going to happen.
He gets bombed the next time he's in, hopefully.
Really? But who cares? That's just because he's bad. It wouldn't be because, oh, we remember. We got you. Remember what you did? Oh my god. Oh my god, back at you. Oh wait, we do that anyways. It's like what are we even worried about?
Let's go to Sam and Trenton. What's up, Sam?
What's up, man? What's up, Tiki?
All's good.
Yeah, man.
It's just another example of how we are just a bunch of bitches. With between Alonso last year getting hit a million times, then he comes out and says, "Oh, well, I'm a big guy. I could take them." Same thing with Diaz. "Oh, we're disrespectful. We'll see what happens next time." Guess what? Diaz, you came to the mound. You could have threw at somebody's head right on the spot. Don't talk about it. Be about it. And if, guess what? We're not making the playoffs. Pull up your handy-dandy FanDuel and check what our odds are to make the playoffs. -450 not to make the playoffs.
Wow. I mean,
it's done.
Hold on.
What was it like 2 weeks ago?
I think, if I memory serves correct, because I looked at it.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about it too, but I don't remember.
They were at best slight favorites to make the playoffs.
Got it.
But that number changing is because, A, they're two games out, and because now it feels like there's only one viable spot because of the way Arizona and San Diego has played. Let me just say this about betting odds. All right, and if you want to go make a bet, go make a bet. All right, I do it all the time, usually as emotional insurance. What the hell does the betting market actually mean? And I want to give you an example in the real world. The betting markets around the presidential election, which has been a thing going on for like 8 years now, 3 weeks ago had one candidate as an overwhelming favorite, and now another candidate has become the favorite. And you know what I say to both of those odds? You mean nothing. And you know what I say about the odds of the Mets making the playoffs or the Yankees winning the division? They don't mean anything. They change like the wind. They're like the stock market. So if your answer, Sam, that they're not going to make the playoffs is because they're not good enough, or they're not going to be able to win enough games, or they don't have an ace, or you have no faith in Nimmo and Alvarez turning things around, by the way, completely fair. But I don't want to hear the betting odds.
No.
What the hell does that mean?
The betting odds is just what we all collectively think, those that are betting.
That's it.
I mean, they're set at some place so that we all react to it. And then eventually it settles where we as the market look at it.
And if the Mets win 5 in a row, which could happen, I hope it happens, and the Braves somehow lose 4 out of the next 5 games, all of a sudden those odds are going to change again.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the election odds are changing all the time. And people make a big deal out of it. Like Drudge Report keeps putting on the headlines. I'm like, "Hey, Matt, can you give me the betting odds like the night before the election?" And by the way, even then they don't matter.
Right, because that'll be a poll and people lie.
People lie all the time. Let's go to JD on the Lower East Side. What's up, JD?
Hey, guys. Oh, first of all, it's an honor to speak to you guys. Tiki, you're zen-like, and the patience you have with my fellow Met fan over there, which is a fraternity. And I'm going to live and die with him. But okay, so this is the thing. And I know you're one of the greatest football players in my eyes. But the thing is that the OMG celebration wasn't what it was. And the cursing out of and it's a different dynamic with a pitcher and a catcher. You know, so he actually, you know, he cursed them out.
Right.
And
then he went in the dugout and did it again.
and did it again. So there's something personal there because of the dynamic between the pitcher and the catcher, and that's personal. That's what Diaz was speaking of.
But it's not what he said.
It's not what he said. Like, if he meant something differently, like, if he had come out and said he crossed the line because of the way he treated Francisco Alvarez, we'd be having a different discussion right now. He literally said, and I read the quote, and I'll read it again. I looked for audio of it. I couldn't find it. I apologize, because I know that adds better context. I always try to do that around here. Sometimes you just can't find it. He crossed the line because that's something we do when we hit a home run. So he's clearly talking about the celebration and not the curse words.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, maybe there is some other type of animosity because he was a pitcher and Francisco Alvarez was his catcher when he was here earlier, before the season started. But I don't think that it doesn't make sense. To me, it feels solely, I know what you guys do. I just got out of a big moment. I'm mocking you. Period. Get out of here, Francisco Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to the dugout. How about you like that? Thank y'all for cutting me. That's what it felt like to me.
He's mad. And I totally get why. He's mad at the Mets.
Mm.
The Mets didn't have him make the team. They acquired him during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
He battled for a spot in the Met bullpen. A Met bullpen, by the way, that has not been great this season. He didn't make the team. So his anger is likely at David Stearns. He can't scream upstairs, "Hey, David, I got two words for you."
Right.
So he's taking it out on Met players. And all I ask as a Met fan, especially this time of year, is do something about it if you're angry. Kick their ass. They go beat them because they're desperate for wins. I am not trying to be hyperbolic here. They need to win these games. And I'm so sick of some of my fellow Met fans, and I've heard this a lot, saying, you know what? They've given us a great year. They got us the football season. Are you freaking kidding me?
No, you can't have that mentality.
I don't have that mentality.
No Met fan is having that mentality. You can't, because if you felt that way, then you would have opened up your mouth about a pre-deadline and said, I don't care. You might as well trade guys because you've already given me the season anyway. You can't have that mentality.
I agree. We'll get to more of your calls. Plus, we got a lot of football and baseball to get into, including a kind of a weird discussion that I don't understand the other side. I try to be open-minded. Did the Chicago White Sox owe Juan Soto the opportunity to make baseball history last night? We'll get into it coming up. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.